good morning and afternoon. Let's look at Luke chapter 19 today. Let's be blessed by Dr. Luke, very thorough writer. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus teaches on faithfulness, and I want to call it required kingdom faithfulness. And he speaks it in a parable. And verse 11 says, "And as they heard these sayings, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." They were looking for God's kingdom to be established now in that present day, physically before their eyes. "But Jesus said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." That's the word today. Yeah, occupy till I come. Yeah. Occupy. Fill the voids. Fill in the spaces. Do the required work. Apply yourself to kingdom statutes and commandments. "But his citizens hated him and sent the message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done. Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, have thou authority over 10 cities." Authority. Occupy. Authority. Two good words. Occupy and authority. "And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I not sowed, or I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." This is basically a teaching on faithfulness. Obviously, the certain nobleman that went into a far country is Jesus himself, establishing the kingdom. While he was gone, when he came back, he wanted to take account of what people had done. Same as what's going to happen now. Jesus has gone back unto the Father and sits at the right hand, but he is coming back. And he's going to come back, and there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to stand before him. And there we're going to see an inventory of our life and what we've done with what he's given us. So a couple of things we're going to look at today, especially in verse number 12. He said he went in a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. First point I want to make to you is Jesus is coming back. Sometimes we say the words, and it's been said for a long time, but he is soon to return. Do you believe that people really take that seriously, as they should? The way life is governed, sometimes it appears that people, we say it, but because it has not happened, it's like, oh, I still have time. But let me ask you a question. How much time do we have? Anyone know? So if you don't know how much time we have, wouldn't we be a little more thoughtful or concerning, like, you know what? I better do what I need to do because it could be today. What makes our world neglect God and just put it off to tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? This is just a question to consider. Why do we have people in our world today that know they need Jesus, but yet say, I'm not ready, or I still got work to do? What is it that makes people make those comments?
Religion.
Say that again?
Religion.
Religion?
Because what they've heard is throughout their lifetime, or, you know, yeah, religion, because, you know, we've heard it for so long, and they tell you to look for certain signs and so forth and so on. You're not going to know the summer or the seasons and times. We're at that point now, but they fail to really have their own relationship to really find out, you know. So
basically, religion has kept us away.
Yeah.
It's a good answer. Religion has divided us from the seriousness of Jesus really coming back. Maybe in church, we don't treat it as serious as we should. Any others?
I would say not having a made up mind. And I say that because I was talking with someone and just giving them a word of advice. And they like questioned it. And I said, well, just go to the Bible and research it for yourself. And they, you know, told me, well, I'm not where you at now, but I'll get there. So that's why I said not having a made-up mind. So
I agree. That's a good religion, the made-up mind. Yeah. Notice what Jesus says. And I don't know if you ever looked at the scripture like this very intently. Whenever I read the Bible, I'm like, Lord, what are you really trying to say? What is it that we need to know? Well, here's the key. A certain man or nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Right? He was received into heaven. The government is placed upon his shoulder, right? The kingdom government is his. He established it. And to return. So he's coming back. But here's the key. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. He called them together. He called them together. Here's what Jesus did and what he's saying. I've given you everything you have based on who you are. And so look at it this way. Jesus said you didn't get where you are because you got it on your own. You don't have what you have because you were sufficient of yourself. Who you are, where you are, I gave it to you. There's a difference between the pounds here and the talents of the parable of the talents that Jesus taught about elsewhere in the Gospels. You know what's different? In the parable of the talents,
it reminds me of the 10 talents.
Yeah. He gave them severally as they will, what they could handle. Right? So it's a little bit different principle than this one here, because there he gave 10, he gave 5, he gave 1, and based on what they could produce. Here he's saying everyone has been given, watch what he says, 10 servants, he gave 10 pounds, a pound each. Everyone was on the same playing field. So you know what that means? Everyone that enters this world has the same opportunity to succeed. You might succeed in China, you might succeed in the United States of America, you might succeed in the city, you might succeed in the suburbs, but everyone has been given the gifts, the talents, everything from God individually. There is not one person on this earth that has not been born with a purpose. Regardless if it's, wow, man, why was I born in this area? I'm dysfunction. I'm at a disadvantage because, no. You are never at a disadvantage if God birthed it, no matter where it is. Right? Remember the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. God can prosper you in hell. God, so Jesus is saying everyone, different from the talents, everyone's been given a pound. That means everyone has been given some talent, some gift. There's something in you that God gave. He's not saying like the talents, I'm giving you 10 because I know you can produce more. I'm giving you 5 because no. Equal playing field. And I'm coming back. But until I come back, occupy. So when I say the word occupy till I come, I like that word, occupy. When you occupy something, that means you're filling a space. Everyone has been given a lot in life to fill a space, to answer a question, to solve a problem, to become someone's solution for Jesus. Everyone fits. If you were to look like Jesus would look from heaven into this earth, you see a puzzle and you see billions of pieces. And every piece has a place. Some, now let me just be humorous. Have you done a puzzle before? How large of a puzzle have you done? 50 pieces? 100 pieces? Or maybe the kids, 10 pieces, look there. What's the most important part you try to put together first?
The ends.
Why?
Because everything else will come.
Everything fits in.
Yeah.
Jesus already put the ends together. We fill in the rest. The corners are covered. Jesus said, bam, I got you covered. Here's your parameter. Here's your sphere of influence. All you got to do is fill it in, occupy the space I've given you. Isn't that something? Always working a puzzle, starting with the corners, the edges. You know why it's easy? You know why? Because it's easier. Those pieces are more easy to identify. Your boundaries. So if you know your boundaries that God has given you to live within, occupy it. Fill it. Grow it. People in your domain, people in your sphere of influence, they should be growing being a part of your life. They should be developing a part of your life. They should be gaining something better from being around you as a Christian, right? They might not admit it. They might not want to say it because they're proud, but they keep coming around. They keep coming back. Because you got something that you were designed to give them. Even your children. Kick them out, they're going to come back. Yeah. You know why? Because you've been designed. But beyond family, because Jesus, remember we talked about before, hating your mother, your father, beyond family, there are people beyond your family because Jesus proved that. He said, that's my mother, that's my family out there. He's talking about the kingdom, all those people out there. There are people that God has given you to affect in your puzzle of life. That's important. So when you occupy, you fully occupy. No one likes a vacant building and they own it and it's supposed to be occupied. Amen. Any questions on that so far or comments?
I have a comment.
Sure.
Just like you're saying, he had given everyone the same purpose or destiny. I relate that to the same measure of faith. The measure, not a measure, but the measure, so everyone could grow it to their ability. Amen. By building on what he's already spoken.
Amen to that.
And so
level playing field.
Yeah.
That's so a good point.
If he's giving you that purpose, that's connected to your faith to build as well. Because you're gonna have to have faith for everything anyway.
Absolutely.
So
he gave you your first measure. He gave all of us our first measure.
That's right.
It's like here is an endowment to your future. Here is some money to start off your business. Here is seed money right here. It's called faith. What you do with that is up to you. But everyone's been given it. Well, how come you gave her more seed faith you gave me? No, everyone's been dealt a measure of faith. So where we are in life is based on how we grew it. Let me say it the way Jesus said, how we occupied. How we filled the space. How we filled the vacancies. How we fill the voids, how we fill the gaps. All right? But look what he says in the next verses of scripture here, because again, we're talking about this faithfulness and occupying. He said, but his citizens hated him. And this is real deep if you read between the lines. You know what Jesus is saying? It's my land. He said, his citizens, Jesus owns this, him and the Lord, right? He said, but the people who are in my land with my breath, the life I gave them, they hate me. And sent the message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. How did they treat Jesus on the earth? They didn't want him to reign. They didn't want him. We don't want you. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money. Notice pounds, money, the British pound. Now he's talking about, he calls it money. So he says, now I'm calling those together on whom I gave those gifts and talents. I know there are ones that hated me, but there are ones that I blessed with gifts and talents, and I'm calling them together, and I want to see now how much they've gained by trading, sharing, giving, showing who I am. Notice he's taking money, which is common to us, but the real meaning is gifts and talents. It's not about per se the natural money. Jesus is not saying, I gave you money, when I come back, how much interest am I going to get on my money? No, he's saying how much dividends of souls I'm going to get from your gift that I put in you. Okay, how faithful have you been in the earth to occupy? Do you deserve to still have the space that he gave you originally right now? If he was to come, and which he's not going to come and go back again, if he were to come in the interim and do an assessment and then go back, how would he assess your lot in life now? This is like a wake-up parable of faithfulness. I'm coming back, and I'm going to return, but until he returned, I believe, and this is the key, I believe part of the fivefold job is to perfect the saints for the work of ministry, right? I believe our job is to do the assessments, the apostolic, the analysis. We're doing the work that Jesus had sent us to do, because he sent some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Our job is to do the assessment, assessing the lots that people have been given, to make sure that when Jesus returns, he's going to get the best return on his investment. So we're like, can I say it this way? We're like financial analysts in the spirit. Yeah. We're analyzing your portfolio. You've been given a quantity to work with. Our job is to give you the best advice on where to place your talents, your gifts. Certainly not in the hands of the world. If you go back and you recount how many famous people in the entertainment sector got their start or beginning in the church, you'd be amazed.
Yes.
You'd be amazed. And so there needs to be an analysis done periodically on people's lives. That's why we do attend church faithfully. Attend church functions, attend the studies of the prayer. Why is that? It's because you are now being assessed to make sure God is getting the most out of what he gave you. It's not to condemn, it's to challenge you to make sure. Who do not challenge their children as they grow up to train them? Who does not assess the children's lives and say, hey, you know what? You're going to grow up one day. You're going to need to know how to cook. You're going to need to know how to wash your own clothes. You're going to need to know how to make your bed. You're going to need how to do certain things in life. What parent does not do that? You're assessing them. Let's sit down, son. Let me talk to you about life. Bree, have a seat. Let me talk to you about yourself. Think about it. Why are you doing that? Because you want your son and daughter to have the best future possible. They've been given life through your womb by Jesus. And coming out of your womb, you don't want the future of your sons and daughters and grandchildren to be chaos, catastrophe, statistics. So you assess them. You discipline them. You train them. You correct them. You love them. You tell them, occupy. They're occupying a space in your house. Rent free. No food bill. No gas bill. They're occupying. Are you teaching them to occupy faithfully so that, watch this, so that you get a return on your investment when they get older? Let me get it. Let me sip my drink real quick on that. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it does.
You want the best return on your investment.
Yes, Jesus.
Now, it happens in our world, but I'm sure that the average parent, the most concerned and genuine parent does not want to look up and their son and daughter's behind bars or they're burying them. Right. That wasn't the intent for bringing them into this world. Amen. The intent was them to become something in life. To have a future. To be blessed. And to come back and take care of their mamas. And their papas.
That's right.
Right? You wanted to return your investment. What's wrong with Jesus wanting to return his investment?
That's true.
And he sent the fivefold as his representatives in the earth to make sure that we assess. But what happens is that sometimes people refuse assessment. And they go and they take that gift and they do nothing with it. Let's go on. Is this making sense? It's about faithfulness and it's about occupying and authority. So the first came saying, Lord, look what he said, thy pound. So that's why I said, remember how he said, I have 10 pounds and he had 10 servants. And so the first servant said, thy pound, the 1 pound you gave me. What did he do with 1 pound? He turned around and he gained how many? 10 pounds. That's a great return. I gave you one and you brought back 10. What did Jesus immediately give him? What did he give him? Wasn't money. Wasn't fame. Wasn't houses. Wasn't cars. He said, because you've been faithful in a little, I'm giving you authority. I told you that before. Authority is greater than money. Authority is greater than anything. You know why? Because authority gets you the ability to access things that other people can't get. When you want it, how you want it. Authority. You have the authority to govern and reign when you've been faithful over a little bit. That's what we're looking for, ladies and gentlemen, today, is that when Jesus comes back and he judges us, I don't want to be over one city. I want to be like the man here. I want the maximum amount of cities I can be over. If it's 10, I want to be over 10. 10 regions, 10 provinces. I don't want to just hop and trip into heaven and find a corner to live at and rejoice forevermore. I want to walk in rejoicing and praising God. And so authority is the reward of occupying faithfully. Write that down. Don't forget that. Authority is the reward of occupying faithfully. Authority is the reward of occupying faithfully.
That's good. Now, with that being said,
yes.
You first have to consult the Holy Spirit on where are you should. That goes back to that jurisdiction piece, does it not? On what is your jurisdiction before you can occupy? Because we run around occupying in different places where God has not given us.
That's where the assessment, that's where the fivefold, people need to learn how to and continue to trust in those sent to apostolize, the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, and the teaching anointing to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Apostolize is not a word, but you know what I mean, right? Kind of humorous. But we have to trust in those that God has placed rule over our lives. Well, I've been sitting, I feel like I should be doing that. Well, you have the ability to only produce two. I can't give you a lot that's going to destroy you.
Right.
Mind you this here. And this is my point from previous. There have been many stars that have went out away from the church that were given too much leeway in the church and they hurt themselves. They were promoted. They were patted on the back. They were said, come on up here. You can do this. You can do that. You can do that. You're above. And before they know it, that money is looking good. And it's unfortunate because many of the great people that became went because the money was good, because the church couldn't pay them what they thought they were worth. But they didn't realize the church gave you your worth.
Think about Whitney Houston when you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the church gave these people their worth.
Yes.
And so really, you ought to be, what's the word I'm looking for? We ought to be grateful to be able to stand before God in His presence and release our gift. Mm-hmm. And we have the audacity to ask for money. I don't mind being a blessing to people. That's not the point. But I think we got it backwards. We want to recognize people. Well, you know, either we want to, you should be paid. No, you should be honored to play, to sing, to dance, to teach, to do all that before you even think about that.
Yes. And you say that to them and they'll say, I've had this conversation so much. And they'll say, well, every man is worthy of their hire.
Absolutely, I agree.
And that's true.
But you got to work first.
Yeah.
You got to serve first.
Yeah.
You got to be humble first. You got to trust. And so when you're in the right place and trust is established, it's never an issue, right? I'm sure you didn't mind giving your kids an allowance if they did what they're supposed to. Michelle, right? Yeah, I give you a couple bucks. I don't mind being a blessing. But it's the thing of understanding that your value, your worth was discovered in the church, not in the world. So you're being paid, all right. You're being paid to serve God. Whoa. No. Your payment is the talent you have. Are you using it to win someone? When a soul comes to Jesus after someone's song or dance or preach, that's your payment. That's your payment right there. Someone get healed, delivered, set free, that's your payment right there. You ought to rejoice right there. That's greater than money. Your song, your dance, your word had authority to convict a heart to give their life to Christ. That's payment. So I'm not saying people shouldn't be paid. That's not the point. You know, you're blessed. That's never the point. The point is the motive.
Yeah.
Never become bigger than the one that blessed you. And that's God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take my talents elsewhere. This makes me laugh when I see athletes. So I'm going to take my talents to such and such. That's not your talents. It's because they offer you a bigger payday. I'm going to get paid.
And that's almost like the, where you could say the root of money, because it's like your motive of doing what you're doing is to get more money when it shouldn't be. You'll get the money if you just continue doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, look what happened.
The money will chase after you.
You sure right about that.
Chase that's after
good.
The money.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
money will chase after you. Because what did Jesus do? He said, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you 10 cities. Hear what it said? You had one, I'm going to give you 10.
Mm.
10 cities. You got authority now. You brought back 10, here's the authority now to govern all that. You want to tell me that this guy didn't get paid?
Come on. Yeah. That's why I say the gift will make room for you.
Amen to that. I believe the world has it wrong. And I'm going to make a funny statement, and you guys will agree, I'm sure. But I think we got it all wrong.
Yeah.
We pay athletes. They sign $1 million contract before they even stepped on the field or the court. That's backwards. You make number one, all right, we'll decide your income after your first year. Oh, we'll be kind. I know it takes a couple years to develop. We'll decide your real income. We'll make sure you have living expense. What job have you ever gone into after graduating from college and you sat on the top floor and made more than the CEO?
Right.
No, I'm being serious. These players are making more than the owners.
Yeah.
And they ain't even
they're making more. Let me come back a little bit. These players are making more than their coaches. I don't know about you guys, but I would think that in your job structure, if you, the laborer, are making more than your manager, the manager wouldn't be happy. But we pay these guys before they've proven themselves.
Yes.
Serve first. Can you be a good teammate first? Can you get along first? Can you handle yourself publicly well? We're paying you, you're having you sign a $50 million, $7,500 million contract, and you haven't proved yourself.
Right.
We have it backwards. So, and this is deep, isn't it? Faithfulness.
Yeah.
I'll see, payday will come. That's how faithful you are. And I just love, you know, analogies and symbolic, that's the apostolic, but the greatest person ever to do that in the world, whether it be sports, entertainment, whatever, media, is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He played for the same contract for years and won championship. When payday came, nobody in the world in that world had no problem in paying him what he was worth. You know why? Because he's proven himself with nothing. Nowadays, it doesn't happen like that. One good year, well, man, I got to get paid or, you know, I want to be traded. Man, faithfulness. I don't mean to turn this into sports talk, but Jordan was faithful with those players, with what he had, and God rewarded him, his talents, with six championships.
How to be a better player.
Yeah. So he was faithful, though.
Yeah, he didn't keep it to himself. He made deposits.
Amen to that.
He made a lot of deposits.
And I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Right.
Same thing with us. Jesus expects a return. We got to be faithful. Faithful. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained five. So guess what, guys? There are abilities within the pounds that we get. We all have the same level playing field. Hence to your comment about the measure of faith, Enos, guess what? Well, there's different levels that turn out from that faith.
Yeah.
10 pound, 5 pound, and just simple pound. Right? So, what does he say to him? Likewise to him, you over five cities in. Bless you according to what you did. You grew your faith to that level. Here's, this is a great teaching, a whole nother teaching, but your levels of faith determine what you get. I can't have that if I don't have that level of faith. And I don't think ever the body gets that totally. There's levels of faith to get. There is 20,000 member faith levels. There's 10,000 member faith levels. There's 5,000 member faith levels. There's 1,000 member faith levels. There's 500 member faith levels. I've studied all that. There's different capacities. There are different understandings. There are different mindsets at these levels. It's faith. And I'm saying, Lord, I want my faith to grow continually. I don't want to just start out and be at a 20,000 member faith. I want to grow through the 100 member, the 200 member, the 500 member. Because you know what? I learn. Once you get to 20,000, you just grow from 1 to 5,000 overnight, you're going to lose at the end because you haven't learned how to keep the 100 people that are faithful. You haven't learned how to keep the 200 people that are faithful. Because out of every 100 you get, you're probably only going to have maybe 20 to 30 real faithful ones. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just teaching you real faithfulness. Out of every 100 or so members, you're probably going to have 25 to 30 real faithful pillars. So if you have 200, you might have 50 real faithful to 60 pillars. Guess what happens if you just jump to 5,000 and you don't know who your pillars are? They're there because you're paying them. They're there because of the height. Who can I really trust? I'll keep that one for a later time.
That's it, though.
So you develop it and you build it.
Yeah.
Jesus was saying in this, when you read between the lines, remember what I told you. Jesus, what are you really saying here? There is levels of faith. I gave everyone the same measure, but he had 10-pound faith.
Yeah.
He grew it. Yeah. He had 5-pound faith. He grew it. To get to certain levels, your faith has to get to that level. And you will be rewarded at that level. You don't get the reward before your faith gets there. Your faith has to be there first. Right? You don't believe it when you get it. No, you believe it before you get it, right? So your faith has to be there first. Well, I got it. Here's my phone. Well, no, I believed it before I actually put it in my hand.
You got to see it before you even have it.
Yeah. Handle it.
Yeah.
Move in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Flow in that arena. Okay?
And that's what I think is really missing in the body of Christ. I've even had someone to ask, how do you believe? That's something. Because that's the key word to build your faith. What do you believe in?
Yeah. Well, you start that person out with simple beliefs.
Yeah.
Right? You don't tell them to walk on water.
No.
You start them out by just simply following you and watch them. Oh, I believe. They'll believe.
Part of the, I guess, you know, when you're coming into something. salvation, whatever.
Simple belief.
They get them scriptures to build and believe what Jesus is saying.
So do you believe you're saved?
Yeah.
Do you believe you've changed?
Exactly.
Right? I'm not saying believe or God take away this drug habit. No, do you believe you're saved first?
Yeah.
Because the drug habit can go. Do you believe that you're a changed man or a woman?
Yeah.
Right? Do you believe you can live this life daily and grow? Not, well, I'm going to believe that God's going to turn the whole situation around. No, let's first believe you're saved.
It's almost like you got to tell me to write it 50 times. Like in school, write this word back. Write it 50 times and bring it back. I believe, I believe, I believe.
That's a lot of times I tell people to stand on a certain scripture until you get it.
Amen to that.
It illuminates inside of you.
Preach on that thing. Teach on it. Read it over and over. Post it. Post it. Write it. Here's the last one. Another one came saying, Lord, here's your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. How many gifts are in a napkin?
Ten.
A lap towel, a lap rag in church. There's my gift. It's a napkin. I fear it. Because you're a very disciplined, structured man. Right? He said, reapeth where you don't sow. No, I knew you're a very, very disciplined man. And so I did nothing with it. He said, wow, you could at least put it in the bank and got interest. Look what he said. Let's read between what Jesus is really saying here. You ready for this? He's saying, you kept your gift hidden for yourself. You could have at least invested in your child. Even if you didn't take it out, you could at least put it in your dog. Just being funny. But really what he said, because the person said, I hid it in a napkin. I kept it for myself. I enjoyed it myself. I did it for myself. What did Jesus say? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, give it to him, and give it to the one. Look what he said. This is cool. That has 10. Jesus wants the optimum return on what he gave you. This is why he didn't give it to the one that had 5. He said 10. It's not that he didn't love the 5, but he said 10 because I want more souls. He has the faith to bring more souls in. He's using the gift to have the greatest impact. God wants the greatest impact out of Michelle's life. God wants the greatest impact out of PS in my life. God wants the greatest impact out of Minister Pat's life. The greatest impact. He doesn't want you to take what he's given and hide it for yourself and you only enjoy it with your family. With your own personal circle. It's meant to be outside the circle. That's why notice that Jesus told his own mother, his own family, that's my family. His life was meant to be shared with those outside of the immediate family. In return, the immediate family would appreciate it. Obviously, they appreciate it because James became one of the leading apostles of the church,
right.
His half-brother. Think about it. The one that didn't believe him. Now he's one of the chief apostles. Sure can. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish.
Babies, but
kingdom.
Saw it as kingdom multiplication.
How do we come to the kingdom? As little children.
As little children.
As babes.
Yeah.
Right. You can't even enter the kingdom if you don't have childlike faith.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a good point.
Connected.
It is. Everything in the Bible connects. There is a connecting. And I love to play those puzzles sometime when you take the and draw through the thing and try to get to the end, the maze they call it. I love those. Because it makes you think. Sometimes you hit a wall. Uh-oh, let me back up. I'll find a way. How many know there is a way to the end?
Right.
You just got to sometime go. And we do. Oh, man, I hit the wrong way. Boom. Let me back my tracks up. There was another choice I should have made last week. I should have made it. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds already. People watching. Why did Pastor let him do that? He already does that. He already does that. Because that person can produce more. That's why. You ever wonder why there's certain people that do certain things? Because they're able to produce more. Give me an example.
That's good to teach.
And it's a good example. When it comes to like praise and worship, I'll just use Pastor Terrence as an example. He produces.
Yes, God.
Right?
Yes,
he produces. Not better. I'm not saying he's better than anyone else, but he produces. I don't go and grab someone sitting back in the left field over there that hasn't done it before. It's not that they're not important, but he's proven that he produces.
Yes. That's
my point. Well, how come such and such don't pray? Because you don't produce. The ones I put up produce something.
Yes.
Teaching something out of revelation, not teaching something just so I'm teaching.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's not, they're producing something in the midst of us being here right now, as well as something outside of here.
Yep.
When we're doing a function or producing something behind the scenes or something, they're still producing. So
yep.
It's like a lot of times people just look at, well, I just see them producing in Bible study, or I just see them. But no, you haven't seen them like me and you. We've seen them like producing outside of here. So it's like they're producing on a continual basis.
Their life
right.
produces. Elder Kevin has a Bible study on his job every week, producing. You know what his Bible study is with? Other religions that he is now standing there defending the gospel.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's sitting there and his life is producing. We don't judge production by the stage.
Yes.
I'm going to say that 15 times. We don't judge production by the stage performance. We don't judge production by the stage performance. We don't judge production by the stage. You judge performance by the life lived.
Yes, that's good.
Just what you said, performance.
You don't judge it by onstage productions. You judge performance by the life lived outside. Wow. I'm preaching good today.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes I wish the church was full when I was doing that. Sometimes this good stuff only comes when it's like two or three of you. I wonder why that is.
They're hungry.
Yeah. Maybe you have the ability to fill the gaps and produce more.
Amen.
Isn't that something? There are others that would be here that we got to. For I say unto you that everyone which has shall be given. How many have? Do you have? If you don't have, you're not getting no more. But if you have, H-A-T-H, you're going to be given. And so that's what Jesus was saying. If you have fruit, if you have production, I'm going to give you more. The world is like, oh, they already got the money. Let's give it to the poor. What did Jesus say about that precious oil? The poor you're going to have always, but me, you're not going to.
Yes.
This what she has done, man, is priceless. She did it the right way. Because how many know that Jesus hath and more was given to him? And the more, watch this, the more you give to a person that has, the more that other people are going to be blessed.
No.
Right? Here's the deal. When people bless us, it's like, well, yeah, why do we bless? Because the more you bless us, the more this region you're going to be blessed. It's a proven principle. The more that we live the life that God has called us to live, and you support that and you build that, you saw it's the better your life's going to be, but it's also the better that everyone else's life's going to be, because God knows who to place in leadership positions. If it's a person that's not going to do nothing with it, then there are people that's going to starve and be without. So God says, I choose you, Michelle, and because you're going to give. And I'm going to give you more because you're going to give more. Isn't that something? I'm going to put more in your account because you're going to do more with it. Why give to someone who's not going to do nothing with it? Just to say, my account is fat. And what does that mean? I mean, you could be buried with that money, but it's not going to have any bearing on your eternity. It's just money thrown in the ground. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, said, bring hither, slay them. That's going to be something at the end, isn't it? Those that didn't believe, cast them out in the outer darkness. Like Jesus said, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to see that. I want to be on in heaven praising God, rejoicing. Oh, man, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. Any questions or comments on faithfulness today or occupying with authority? If you had to term it today, I would term it as occupying with authority. Help us occupy God, but not just fill the space, but have authority in that space. Have reigning authority. Father, we thank you today for reigning authority. Yes. We thank you today, Lord God, as we occupy and fill gaps. Lord, those spaces that are being filled are filled with your anointing and your power that produces more. Lord, I thank you today that our lives produce more.
Yes.
More. To him that hath, more shall be given.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for those that have, so that we can give them more to do greater.
Yes.
Lord, we want to be that faithful servant to whom that pound was given.
Yes.
And we produce 10 more pounds.
Yes. Okay.
Not in weight, but in fruit.
Okay.
Thank you, God, that the pounds that we add on are not pounds that make us not fit in our clothes.
Yes, Lord.
But pounds that give us authority, Lord God, to reign in this life. And God, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.